Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Philemon. And I know these verses are becoming familiar to you. We are going to move along quickly after today. But I did want to finish up what is really a two-part sermon that I began 2 weeks ago. And with the Easter sermon in between, we'll finish up today. And that looks at Paul's prayers. And last time we focused on Paul, who always prays. And this morning we pick up the second part of that, directing Paul's prayers into what he prays for, which is that he is always giving thanks in his prayers. And so we're going to be looking at that second part of that. And in the first part of the sermon, I will once again just review a little bit what we talked about the last time for those who weren't here. So let's read from the book of Philemon. Philemon comes right before the book of Hebrews. It's the last one of Paul's letters, the shortest one of Paul's letters that's in our Bibles. And in many ways, the book of Philemon is a nice, short, concise version of Paul's heart and everything that Paul has to say in his ministry. So let's read this morning Philemon 1, 1 through 7. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. That's the reading of God's word as it comes to us from the book of Philemon. As I mentioned a moment ago, in the first sermon that I preached on Paul's prayer, specifically his prayer in the book of Philemon, I focused on what does it mean when Paul tells us that he always prays. In his other letters, he frequently mentions, "I am constantly at prayer. I am continuously keeping you in my prayers." Paul repeats that phrase in each one of his letters. Well, what does it mean that Paul prayed always? Does it mean that Paul prayed 24 hours a day, and that we too need to be always praying and praying without ceasing, as he tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians? Well, of course not. Paul did not pray 24 hours a day. He had to eat. He had to sleep. He wrote the letter to Philemon and his other letters. He did other things. But it does mean that Paul did pray a lot. And to a certain extent, in reality, Paul has prayed and does pray always. You see, the always of Paul's prayers are rooted, first of all, in Christ. We talked last time about the altar of incense in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. The altar of incense stood before the curtain of the most holy place where the ark of God was and God's presence was. And each morning and evening, the high priest would enter into the holy place and he would burn the incense in front of the curtain where God was, as the incense, the sweet-smelling incense, would rise before the Lord. And we looked at the book of Revelation, in which the author of Revelation describes that incense as the prayers of the saints. Intercession that's being made between God and his people as the incense rises up before the Lord, before his presence in that tabernacle. Well, in the New Testament, we recognize in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is our high priest. And in Hebrews 7, we're told that Jesus intercedes for us always. He is always interceding for his people. He is always praying for his people. Can you imagine living a day without knowing that Jesus was not interceding for you? He does it always. Well, when Paul tells us then that he is praying always, in one sense he is praying always because he is praying always in Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ is interceding for us in heaven, as Paul belongs to Jesus Christ, Paul is praying and interceding always. They are in union with one another because Jesus has saved him and he belongs to Jesus. So as Jesus is interceding and praying, Paul is interceding and praying. They are one in the same, and in one sense, in eternity, in the heavenly realm, Paul is praying always because he belongs to Christ. And so as he lives on this earth, Paul reflects that he belongs to Christ in how often he prays. He prays always just as Christ is always interceding for him. He prays frequently on this earth. And he prays for others while he's on this earth. One way that you can think of this is to think of it in terms of the doctrine of sanctification. Now, the doctrine of sanctification is the idea that all your sins are forgiven, that you have a clean slate, you're not a sinner anymore because Jesus Christ has sanctified you of your sins. That happens when you believe in Jesus for salvation, doesn't it? You believe your sins are gone. Well, in heaven, your sins are gone. As you belong to Christ, you're sanctified, you're clean, you're washed away. But while you live on this earth, you still sin, don't you? But as you know Christ and reflect his life more, you sin less and less, and you seek to imitate him in your life and how you live and in what decisions you make and how faithful you are to him. You see, that's what Paul means when he says he's praying always. In Christ, he's praying all the time on this earth. He doesn't pray all the time, but he prays frequently. And the longer he lives, he writes the letter to Philemon when he's in his 60s. He's praying more and more for the saints as he reflects what he will do with Christ in heaven all the time when he goes there forever. You see how Paul is imitating his Savior. You see how we need to imitate our Savior. What motivation what greater motivation could you ever have than to pray, knowing that you pray along with Christ? Knowing, as you saw in the Old Testament, that incense rising up before the Lord. Knowing that Christ is in the presence of God, and he is interceding, and that intercession is going up before the Lord. And as you pray for yourself and for others, your prayers are working alongside of your Savior. What a blessing. What a privilege that is. I know for me, personally, this thought and this understanding of Paul's prayers has motivated me to pray for you more and to increase my prayer time for you and the intercession. And you recognize what a glorious thing it is to pray alongside your Savior. But as you move along in understanding Paul's prayers, and in particular in Philemon verse 4, you see that Paul not only prays always, but his prayers are directed a certain way. Verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Paul prays always, but in his prayers, he is always thanking God for the saints. He's always thanking God for others. If you look at the rest of Paul's letters, you see that each letter begins this way. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you, for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1 verse 3, We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, for making mention of you in your prayers. You see, He is always at prayer, always giving thanks for others and for the saints in His prayers. As now He writes this letter to Philemon and He tells Philemon, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Well, you know, as Paul repeats this in each one of his letters, as you look at his life, this man of prayer, you will notice that what he tells us and the manner in which he's praying is unique to New Testament prayer. When people have trouble praying, sometimes people will come to me and say, I don't know what to pray for, or I'm not a very good prayer. Quite often the counsel that is given is, well, go to the Psalms. Because the Psalms are prayers, aren't they? In Psalm 22, the psalmist writes, as Jesus said from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The author is crying out to God to be near him and to come to him. Psalm 51, when David has sinned with Bathsheba, he prays that God would forgive him of his sins. It's a confession of sin. It is against you only, and you only have I sinned, prays David. We use that psalm as a prayer of confession or even as a song of confession of our sins here as a church when we sing that hymn. So the psalms are prayers. And in those prayers, we have individuals who cry out to God for forgiveness or for God to deliver them or for God to help them work through situations in their lives, pouring out their hearts before the Lord. But where do you see a psalmist praying for other saints and giving thanks for other saints? Show me a psalm where the psalmist comes out and says, O Lord, I give thanks for other saints, for other believers in you. Each psalm is a prayer which is a prayer to God of the individual's prayer. Sometimes the psalmist will pray for the nation. But where in the psalms does he give thanks for other saints as Paul prays and gives thanks for other saints? You see, Paul's prayers are unique to the New Testament. And the reason Paul's prayers are unique to the New Testament is that the New Testament is the new day of prayer. The Old Testament shadow has been fulfilled in the New Testament in Jesus Christ. Paul recognizes that Jesus has died for his sins, that Jesus has been risen from the grave, and that all those who believe in Jesus are in union with one another. And as they are in union with Christ, who's in heaven always praying, they are also in union with one another in their praying. How often have you thought about what it would be like in heaven? Sometimes I have people come to me and say, well, what are we going to do in heaven? You know, we believe in heaven and we believe that God's going to bring us there because of salvation in Jesus. But what are we going to do there? Well, we say that we'll do many of the things we do in church, right? We'll be worshiping God, we'll be reading God's word and or hearing God's word, singing His praises and so forth, and praying. Well, you know, in the book of Ephesians, Paul tells us one other thing that we'll be doing in heaven. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul tells us that one of the things we will be doing is delighting in God and giving thanks for Him. Ephesians 1, verse 15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And then look at verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance of the saints. What is the glorious inheritance of the saints? That's the salvation that God has given us. That's heaven. That's where we go to be with God forever. And that is, according to Paul, a glorious inheritance, a rich, glorious inheritance. And you know what you're going to be doing in heaven? Thanking God for that glorious, rich inheritance. You're going to be praising God that he has saved you, that he has delivered you, and that he has provided this glorious, rich inheritance for you. One time I was in a discussion with a friend of mine, and he was telling me about how when he first came to know the gospel, and people were saying, well, if you believe in Christ, you'll be saved. He thought to himself, well, what if somebody like Hitler had believed in Christ at the very end of his life and God saved him? And what if I went to heaven and there was Hitler there? Well, this troubled him for a long, long time. How could I stand that to know that somebody like that was there in heaven and I was there with him? And another friend came along to him one time and said, you know, I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to be so thankful I'm there. I won't care or think about anybody else and why they're there. I'm just going to be thankful and praising God because he saved me. That's going to be where my thoughts and my focus is. Well, that is our glorious inheritance, isn't it? That's what we're going to be doing in heaven, praising God for the salvation he's given us, thanking God for the glorious inheritance that he has provided for us, and celebrating what his Son has accomplished for us in heaven. But not only will we be thanking God for that, Paul also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 12. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to the worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. For we do not write you anything that you cannot read or understand, and I hope that, as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of Christ. Do you see that last verse there that I read, verse 14? Paul is describing the day of Christ, when Christ returns, when believers will be taken to heaven forever. And Paul tells us there that on that day, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you. You see, on that day of Christ, in heaven itself, not only will you give thanks for God and the salvation he's provided in his Son, you will also give thanks for the saints, for one another, as you boast in one another at what God has done. You will boast that God has saved these people, that he has loved them so much, that he has delivered them from sin and from death. Others will boast in you. The saints will boast and delight in one another and praise God and give thanks for the church and for the saints that have been redeemed by God. And so what is Paul doing in his prayers, as he is always giving thanks? What happens in heaven in heaven, you will give thanks for God's salvation, always praying, always there, and you will give praise and thanks for the saints. That's one of the things you're going to be doing all the time. So what does Paul do now while he's still on this earth when he prays? He prays always, reflecting what he will do in heaven and what Christ is doing in heaven on his behalf. And he prays and he gives thanks, not only for God, but for the saints. Thanks for one another. That's why he writes in each one of his letters that he's always giving thanks for them. And look what he writes to Philemon in verse 5. I remember you in my prayers, verse 5, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. He is always giving thanks for Philemon because of Philemon's faith in the Lord Jesus, that God has saved him. And because Philemon, while living his life on this earth, loves the saints. Philemon is doing, Paul is doing what they'll be doing in heaven. And Paul, even though he's not in heaven yet, in his prayers, starts doing that here. Now think about your prayers. How often you pray. The way that you pray. So often our prayers are what we want or what we need. Sometimes our prayers are even political, aren't they? We see something we want and we pray to God that we want that, we want that, we want that. But as Paul prays always, he's giving thanks to God for his salvation, for the salvation of others, and for the other saints. Have you thought of the implications of that for your prayer life and for your life with other saints? Paul's writing a letter to Philemon. Philemon is a wealthy man. The church meets in his house. Philemon owns slaves. One of his slaves, Onesimus, has run away. We do not know why Onesimus has run away. Sometimes slaves ran away because their owners abused them. Sometimes slaves ran away because they stole something from their owner and they left. And runaway slaves were treated very, very harshly. We don't know why Onesimus ran away. But Paul writes the letter of Philemon on behalf of Onesimus as he goes back to Philemon and returns to his owner. And Paul tells him on his behalf to treat Onesimus as a believer. Look at verse 17 of Philemon. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. As the apostle writes this letter, he knows that Philemon may not appreciate it. We don't know what Onesimus has done. He may say to Paul, but Paul, you don't know. You don't know the things he's done or the things that he's said or what he's done in the past of his life. He might say, Paul, he's swindled you. He may be acting good now, but wait till he comes back and it'll be as before. In other words, Paul, mind your own business. So as Paul sends this letter, he does not know how Philemon, his friend, will react. And as he begins to write it, he lets Philemon know that he is always thanking God for Philemon as he remembers him in his prayers. Sometimes you'll have people come and say, I don't get along with my spouse very well. I'm not doing well with others in the church or with other believers. We've got this conflict. We've got this problem. Sometimes they look at their spouse and they say, I don't know whether I can handle him anymore and the way he's acting and what he's doing. How come he or she is not like this? Have you considered Paul's prayers? There could have been a potential conflict between Paul and Philemon. As he looks at Philemon, he looks at him as a saint. And he begins, before doing anything else, by giving thanks to God for him in his prayers. You know, in heaven, there's no conflict. In heaven, saints don't look at each other and say, why did you do this? Or why did this happen? In heaven, you're giving thanks to God for saving you. You're giving thanks to God for the saints and for one another. As Paul prays, he reflects what he does in heaven. As we pray, as we live with other saints, we need to reflect what we do in heaven. Have you considered in your prayers, even with those who you may have conflicts and disagreements with, to begin working those out by giving thanks to God for them and remembering them in their prayers as saints? It doesn't mean that Paul let people get away with sin. For in many of his letters, he has strong words to say, strong words of rebuke against those who have sinned and those who are living unfaithful lives. But before he says anything, his mindset, his prayers are to give thanks and praise. How are your prayers? Where is your focus? How do you look at others? May you pray always and give thanks always for Jesus Christ and for other saints as you live out the heavenly world even now on this earth. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the apostle and for his prayers. We thank you that as we have looked at his life and recognized the way that he prayed, that he can live out his union with his Savior and with other saints. We pray that we would learn from his prayers, that we too would give thanks to you for others, and for the salvation that you've provided, that we would always be praying, that we would recognize the great opportunity we have to participate in the prayers of Christ and in the intercession for others, that we would give thanks for others, for the salvation you've provided for them and for bringing them into our lives, and that you would help us as we resolve differences and difficulties to begin with the mindset that they belong to you, that we are to give thanks to you for them and for each other, and to live out the union with Christ that we have. Lord, we pray that you would motivate us to go to you in our prayers. We pray that as we recognize our union with you, we would live out this union in our prayers and in the way we pray more and more each day. That, Lord, as we live on this earth, we may begin to do what we'll do in heaven always. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.